Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church services on this, well, it's Saturday the 20th for us, it may be Sunday the 21st of June 2020 for you, or indeed it could be any time of the day or night depending on when you are listening to this. For those that are listening in with their Bibles in their hands, the two Bible places in the Bible we will be reading from this morning are Acts chapter 5, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 5, and Philippians chapter 2, both in the New Testament. So if you want to pause the recording now and get a piece of paper or even your finger and put them in there, please do that. Don't forget to press the play again afterwards. We're very glad to have your company. And we're going to begin with, we're actually singing from soul-stirring songs and hymns. We're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing 410, Faith is the Victory. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the day, and for life and health and strength for an improvement over the past 10 days. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would just enable each one of us to take a time out from the world and to spend it with you and with the brethren, if not in person, well, definitely in spirit. I pray you, Lord, especially for Ling and Frank and Dr. Yang, for that other Chinese doctor in England, Lord, Bao Chung Wang, I think it is. I pray you, Lord, for a hedge about, well, not just him, but all of us, Lord, this day, but we pray most importantly that your will would be done. For John and for Will, for Christine and Mary Ann, for David and Naomi and their families, for Paul and William and Rachel and Lily Ann. We pray, and Reggie, we pray that your will would be done in all of those folks' families, Lord. Remember Leonard and his family as well, Father. Please, I pray, you save souls. And we're not forgetting Esther, Lord. I know, Lord, I'm sure she has it heavy on her heart to see her, all of her children saved. And I pray you, Lord, that you would convict each one daily. And we're not forgetting Eddie and Anne either, Lord. And we pray your good hand upon them and upon their children and their wee grandson Mason, Lord, for wisdom and the wherewithal to help him with the autism that he has. Please look after Christy, Father, this day. Bless and keep him as he labours. Pray you too for Taylor and for Taylor's mom and dad, Terry and Lisa, Lord, for their salvation. And not forgetting Norman, Lord, and pray that your good hand would be upon him, especially in these days, Father, whenever he has a lot on his plate. And I pray you, Lord, for Mark Withington and his family, for their salvation, Lord, and for their opposition in this world until they get right with you. Please bless and keep too, Lord, Pat and Steve. Steve's got a fair few problems at the moment with his legs. I pray you, Lord, that you would heal them, or at the very least, Lord, that you would give Steve a portion of grace and strength to keep going. Pat too, Lord, you know, when one person in a family hurts, everybody hurts. Please, I pray you bless and keep her as well. And their families, Lord, at this time. Please, Lord, I pray you, save lost souls there and edify the saints. Please, Lord, I pray you put your good hand upon John this day and bless him and help him and keep him, Lord, especially when it comes to those verse memorizations. For Carol and for Stephen, Lord, too, we pray your good hand upon them as well. For our church on Maboy Road, for the other Norman, Lord, son of Noel and Joan, I pray you, Lord, for his leg, for his health difficulties, and for his mum and dad, Lord, are just not keeping the best. Please, Lord, your good hand upon them. For Terence McLaughlin, Lord, for his salvation, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, for that other family there as well, for Stephen and Anne Marie, Lord, we pray you, Lord, for them. And we pray you too for Henry and Evelyn, Lord, as they travel to England to attend to their daughter and for their wee grandson, Isaac, Lord, and for wisdom and wherewithal as they help him with his cystic fibrosis. I'm not forgetting Sally and Sammy and Kate, all of whom have their health difficulties at this time, Lord. And Alan Leslie, please look after him too. And Pearl as well, Lord. Just thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. We pray for my dad, John Bradfield, for Maslam and Georgina and their kids. And we pray for Roger and Pat. And for anybody and everybody that gets an opportunity to listen or indeed takes the time to. Father, please bless our time together. Please edify us. Please comfort us. Please strengthen us. Lord, if we need straightening out, please straighten us out too. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you for preserving your word just like you said you would, even whenever so much of the world hates it. Please save souls. Please be with our health service workers, our security forces at this time. Please, Lord, I pray you give the leaders of our countries wisdom. And Lord, for us right now, I pray that this would be a blessed time around your word, lifting up your praises, and just having time with you. We love you and thank you, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay. We're going to begin with 410. Faith is the victory. Number 410. Take our Bibles now and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Thank you again, Steve, for your suggestions and for your picking of the Bible readings. I know you'd love to be up here reading them. But in the meantime, we'll just make do with me being your stunt double. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, and you know the score. You don't have to try and keep up with us because as we have prepared the service, we have looked up the songs, we have marked out the Bible verses, etc., etc. So if you need a moment just to find your reference in your Bible and you want to ring along, just press the pause and then press the play when you're ready to go. If you just want to listen, amen, that's good too. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice in me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that, as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. Amen. Thank you for that. We will be reading in the book of Acts for our service this morning, Acts chapter 5. But we're just going to take a moment or two and bring you some announcements. Amen. Right, I suppose the biggest announcement at the moment was I was informed, although I couldn't find it on the the government website that there will be a relaxing of restrictions that will hopefully enable the church to be able to open its doors in just over a week's time. I think it's Monday the 29th, which means all being well on Wednesday the 30 days has September, April, June and November. Will that be the 1st of August? Not the 1st of August. I've been jumping into another time machine there. 1st of July, all being well on Wednesday, we should be able to gather back together for church. So please do bear that in mind. And please do bear with us as we endeavour to accommodate organising to get folks here. We will still be burning CDs and handing them out to folks until they ask us not to. There are some people like Maslam and Georgina who live far, far away and wouldn't be able to get here even with the full relaxation of any quarantine regulations. So please do pray for them. We will keep sending CDs to them and to a few other folks that are not able to get out of their houses. So please do pray about that as well. Ed Gilbert's family has been on my mind. Please do pray for Ed. He's over in Black Creek in America. He lost his wife a few weeks back, Jane, and I'm sure the whole family and church family is feeling that right now. Please do pray for him. Please do remember the Quigley family. Please do also, that's Pat and Steve's connection. And please do pray for Rita's family. That's Elaine and Hilary and their families. And their late brothers, Leslie, his family as well, as they mourn the loss of Rita. We know that she went into glory, but it's still difficult parting. So please do pray for the family. Please do pray for all of those that have lost loved ones and have not been allowed to properly see them into eternity or pay their respects and one thing and another. We've already mentioned a few times to people that there should be a proper day of mourning, and not just a grand day, but maybe even a service for each person. It seems too factory, too systematic to just take and mention a name in the church of those that have passed away and the family members that are left behind. So please do pray about that as well, if you would. Mrs. Bradfield, is there anything else we need to remember or anything else we need to announce? Oh, yes. Brother Francis Cosgrave, his brother went into eternity there about a week ago. So please do pray for the Cosgraves down south, and Francis as he's down there ministering to his family, and of course mourning the loss of a brother. It's a difficult time. I think he was a fairly young man. I suppose fairly young compared to the 55 that I will be in about a month and a half's time. Please do pray for Francis and his family at this time. Francis, Nita, Norlisa, Tony and Anthony, if you would. Just remember them all. Those are the only ones in the family I know, but I know he has other siblings and parents, so please do remember that. I think that's about that. Please do pray for Steve. He has ongoing hospital appointments for his legs. Please do pray for me. I had blood tests taken yesterday. I haven't been feeling the best the past 10 days about. I'm starting to come around a bit, so I appreciate your prayers there. Every time I hope I am getting on better than I should be, I find out shortly afterwards that even with the best of intentions in the world, the spirit is willing, but the body, the flesh indeed, is weak. I'm not able to keep up with what I would like it to do. So I guess I'm not Spider-Man, Superman or Iron Man. I'm just Mark, and there's not going to be any Hollywood fix for my ailments. It's just a long road. So I appreciate your prayers. I think that's about that. If I have forgotten anybody's name, if you're listening to this and your name hasn't been mentioned and you know I know you, just remember this, that all your names have been called out this morning, and most, if not every day, as I walk up and down the Maboy Road and out onto the dual carriageway, your names are called out. Don't forget to pray for the rulers of our world. Please do pray for President Trump, Boris Johnson, Arlene Foster, David Hurley, Justin Trudeau, President Xi, Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un. I don't know who's in charge in the EU, but we'll say Angela Merkel. And all the other rulers in the country, Nicola Sturgeon, please do pray that the Lord really, really convict and give wisdom to our leaders. And we have leaders that are forged into the people that we need instead of really what we deserve, which is not very much actually at the moment. Please do pray for wisdom for people, for our health services, and for our security services right now. I know we're going through difficult times with BLM, Black Lives Matter, but I would like to remind you that it's really ELM. If you just rub off the two bumps on the B, you get the real matter. Every life matters, not just Black Lives Matter. Please do pray for souls, that lives be saved, that souls be saved and lives be saved, and for wisdom for our leaders. For the opposition of wickedness and evil at every corner, and starting in our own lives, rooting out that sin, and let us as Christians be much in prayer. The Lord would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous people. Help, let yourself be one of those righteous people. So, anyway, please do remember those things, and be much in prayer. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this day, for life and health and strength. And we do indeed thank you, Lord, for all of the things that we have mentioned, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. We thank you for loving us and for keeping an eye out for us and an arm around us whenever we need it. Sometimes we need it around our shoulders, and sometimes we need it quickly applied to our backsides. But Lord, you know our needs, and I pray that you would supply them. Please save lost friends and family members. Please, Lord, I pray you edify and comfort those that know you and are sorrowing at this moment. Please strengthen those that are cast down or that have hills to climb and opposition to face, Lord. You know our needs, and I pray that you would grant them according to your will. Please preserve the Christian Institute, Outreach International, Open Doors, Kids for Schools, Lord, and the many other Christian, and I do mean Christian, organizations that are reaching out to souls to help them physically and spiritually, Lord. Please put your good hand upon our leaders. Please influence those that are open to influence. Please convict those that are not. And Lord, there's so much going on. There's a reason why your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and we're like grasshoppers in your sight. We just thank you and love you, and let's keep our eyes upon you. And we love you and thank you and praise you for it all, Lord. Amen. Amen. I suppose our last announcement would be that it's Father's Day tomorrow. So pray for dads everywhere. And don't forget that young people need good example in their father as well as in their mother. It's very, very important. We're going to sing another song. So if you would like to take your hymn books again and turn to hymn number 3. Hymn number 3, we had a request for hymn number 3. This is for you, Pearl. I hope you enjoy it and we don't make too much of a mess out of it. Jesus Paid It All, hymn number 3. COVID-19. Sometimes I have a wee cough and a splutter if a hymn is too high or too low, and it gives me a wee tickle in my throat, something that I have noticed this past few months since coming back from hospital, and of course the hay fever as well. Sometimes it feels like someone has, quite literally, the Sandman has taken and poured real sand into my eyes in the middle of the night. But anyway, we're glad to be out in the house of the Lord, and we're reading in the book of Acts chapter 5, just like we said at the start of the service, and we're beginning at verse number 28. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse number 28, and we're reading the next 14 or 15 verses to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse number 28. God bless you. The word of God says, verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." This was after being challenged about not land. You know what? Let's read from verse 28. Verse 27. And when they had brought them, that is the disciples, and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand, to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are as witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. And after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Please bless it to our ears and our hearts and our minds. Bless those, Lord, that stand up and preach the full counsel of it. Please, Lord, preserve your word, not just in the pages of these books, but in our hearts and minds as well. And we pray you, Lord, continually, not just with direct confrontation from the devil and speaking face to face to those that would oppose. I pray you, Lord, even in the thoughts of our hearts and minds, when we see things and hear things just as the day goes by, that you would remind us of your word and strengthen us. Lord, we know we're in the last of the last days. Please watch over and keep each one of us. Thank you for all that you've sent my way, Lord. Bless us both now and everyone that hears this message and the other messages that you've given to your men around the world. Amen. 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 I like that. I am sure that there are many religions in this world that would have liked that chapter to finish at verse number 41, where the scribes and the Pharisees beat the apostles and told them not to preach. And you would think, yep, oh goodness, we've just got a few stripes from the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. Let's go home and thank the Lord that we were able to be counted worthy to suffer in his name. But oh no, I like the last verse, and daily in the temple, right where they were, and in every house, in other words, anyone that would listen, they ceased not to preach Jesus Christ. I like that. Do you know what, friends? All the prophecies up to this point, as we're reading in the Bible and even beyond that, have been fulfilled, except for the catching away of the believers and the return of Jesus Christ to rule and reign for 1,000 years have all been fulfilled. We live in very interesting times. And he did his greatest work in his giving his life for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And now the work of saving souls and the convicting of the lost continues in this portion of God's word and, of course, in the world today. This is the chapter that Ananias and Sapphira feature in the very beginning. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, I do believe that they trusted in God. I do believe that they were Christians, that they belonged to God because they were chastened so severely by God, unto death, in fact, because they tried to make themselves look big and look important. They sold some possession and they brought the money and the disciples and they said, this is the money from the possession that we sold, because I am sure they saw many others getting a thank you and a pat in the back from the apostles, and they said, you know what, we could do the same. But they kept some of the money to themselves, which is not a problem. I do that from whenever I'm selling stuff on eBay. I keep some of the money for myself, and I give some of the money to the church, and some of the money has to go back to eBay, but that's neither here nor there. It was the fact that they tried to make it look like they had given it all to God. It's very important that you don't lie to God, because really you're only lying to yourself and you're fooling nobody. So there was a great fear of the power of God in the world today, and back in that day. And even as the apostles would walk along, many brought those that were sick and possessed with devils so that they would be touched, or even that the shadow of them would fall upon them and make them well. And there's one wee verse in there, or comment in there, that says that everybody that came to them was healed. All those that were possessed of devils, all those that were sick, were blind, were dumb, were maimed, were lame, they were all healed. It's not at all like these so-called healers that we see today that will pick one person that looks like there's nothing wrong with them, and indeed, maybe even a plant, and I don't mean a daffodil, although they have as much brains as a daffodil. I don't mean a daffodil, I mean someone that is there to make the so-called healer look good. I don't mean that. I mean everybody that was healed. Everybody was healed that came to them. And they preached the gospel. They preached the acceptable year of the Lord. They preached the repentance of sins and faith in Christ alone for the salvation of their souls. And all of a sudden they're lifted, not lifted. They are asked to come and speak with the scribes and the Pharisees because of all the things they had done for the people, of all the words that they spoke, and of the difference it made in people's lives. The people regarded them very highly, and they were afraid that if they arrested them, that they might be the ones on the receiving end of a beating or indeed a lynching. So they locked them up, put them in jail, and whilst they're in jail, the angel of the Lord comes and releases them, and they could have run. They could have just headed home, but the angel of the Lord said, get back into the temple and start preaching again. And so they do. And in the morning, when the scribes and the Pharisees send for the apostles, they go and they find the guards standing outside the doors of the prison cells. But when they open the doors, they're all gone. This isn't the first time this has happened. This has happened a few times. And they start to get a bit concerned. And I am sure even the keepers of the prisoners were concerned too, because in a case like that, their lives were generally speaking forfeit. But we don't hear any mention of that. So just as they're wondering where they are, someone comes in and says, those guys that you locked up they're in the temple preaching. Did you let them go? And again, bring them without violence. Gently. Would you mind coming and speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees? You know what? I would almost say, actually we do. If it was me, I would be thinking, you know what? They threw me in jail the last time once they got me away from the people. Why should I go again? But anyway, the apostles go and they start speaking to Peter. And they say to him, look, did we not tell you that you're not supposed to be preaching this and telling this message, because you're showing that it's us that's to blame for this Jesus being hung on the cross. It's our fault. Peter says, well, it was. It was pure jealousy that caused you to stir up the people and put him on the cross. And anyway, the angel of the Lord told us to come after he released us from your cells last night. He told us to go into the temple and to preach the gospel. The Bible says they were cut to the heart. And of course they took counsel to slay them. Now that they had them in their little parlour, away from all the crowds that were listening to them, away from the crowds that had been healed by them, they were thought, let's kill these guys, because they are going to do nothing but exactly the same as this Jesus fellow whenever he walked amongst us. There's one man, Gamaliel, and he said, do you remember that guy Thutis? And if that's not pronounced properly, forgive me. Or Judas. Do you remember those guys that started like a religious following? And gather a whole bunch of people after themselves. But remember whenever they died, it just turned to nothing. And I am sure he might have made mention of the fact that, remember too, these guys, they're doing things that only God can do. They're healing people. Blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the dumb speak, devils are cast out, the lame can walk. They're healing people. We ought to just be very careful what you do with these guys. For in verse 39 it says, if it is God, you can't overthrow it. Because then you'd be found fighting against God. So even at that, such is the spirit of the scribes and the Pharisees, when this has been pointed out very plainly to one of the most influential men of the day, they still have to have their wee revenge, their wee bit of, oh, I'm bigger than you, and they have the apostles beaten, and tell them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then let them go. Of course, the apostles are good law-abiding citizens. And they get right back into the temple and into people's houses, and they are teaching people about the word of God. Friends, I forgot to tell you the title of the message this morning is Beating God. And it's something that many people have tried to do down through the centuries. And I suppose if you really wanted to prove that you could beat God, all you got to do is live forever. That's all you got to do. I don't expect you to make universes. I'm not expecting you to call fire down from heaven, although technically we can do that as well in our own limited ways. Just live forever. overcome sin and live forever. That's all you need to do. The word of Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So live forever. If you want to beat God, if you want to show you're as good as God, live forever, because he has promised that to whosoever throws their lot in with him. If we think back through the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, history simply has recorded what the Word of God has prophesied over the decades and centuries and even millennia before. In the Garden of Eden, God overthrew the God of this world, Satan, whenever he tried to destroy his creation. In the days of Moses, God overthrew all the gods of the Egyptians, delivering the children of Israel. And each one of the plagues that God used on Egypt showed God that he had the mastery over their gods. Those things that the Egyptians worshipped, God, the God of the Bible, showed that they were weaker than he was. And he humbled them all and defeated them all, even at the very end, the very military that they sent after to capture and bring back the children of Israel. Other times in the Old Testament when God showed that he was stronger than the gods that people put their faith in, one that springs to mind was Jericho, a massive walled city. And the people just trusted in their fortifications to save them from everything. And we all know that the children of Israel marched around it for 6 days, and on the seventh day they marched around it 7 times and gave a great shout, and the walls fell down and they ran in and they wrecked the place and killed everybody except for Rahab the harlot, except for her little part of the wall that had the scarlet rope hanging down from it. Her and everybody in her house were saved and written into the line of Jesus Christ. We read about the Philistines and this great soldier that they had that was the equal to and the great stumbling block to the armies of God was defeated again by a little boy, a young man that trusted in God. And I do believe, as we spoke in our last service, the 21 judgments that are mentioned in Revelation 6, right the way through to Revelation chapter 16, I do believe that many, if not all of them, will be a humbling of all of the gods that we put our faith in today. Just remember how wicked and awful the world is. In Matthew 24 and a couple of the other Gospels record that if Jesus didn't come back, we would wipe ourselves out. I give you a few wee thoughts. I can't remember all of the judgments, but everyone remembers the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We like to take great comfort in the fact that our military will be able to hold back any invaders, and yet God uses this and false religion and famine and death through the beasts and war and hunger. God uses these things that we put our faith in to judge the whole world. Whenever we put our own faith and our strength in false religion instead of the religion that is pure and undefiled, whenever we put more store by our pets than by our children or indeed other people, when we trust our technology and our communications today, when these satellites, these meteorites that fall from the sky and poison the waters do exactly the same. If you look up a dirty bomb is what happens whenever you spread highly radioactive material, not a nuclear bomb. Just poison everything around and about. And what do you think actually powers some of these satellites that are up in orbit? It's nuclear reactors. And if those fell into the earth and just disintegrated and fell apart, they would poison huge tracts of land and water. The Word of God also talks about great earthquakes. It talks about an earthquake that's so great that basically everything, every edifice of man is shaken and knocked down. We also have the mark of the beast and a grievous sore that comes to those that have it, and an unbearable heat. All of those things that we put our faith in, technology, nature, all of those things get turned against us by the God of the Bible. Anyone here remember Carl Sagan? Did you ever hear of Carl Sagan? He used to have a show whenever I was very small called Cosmos. One of his great sayings was to do with there's a bit of the cosmos in every one of us, or words to that effect, and someday we would go back and become a bit of the cosmos again. Yes, indeed. And people worship the cosmos and the sun and technology and the animals and their own strength and youth and vitality and all of these things. All of these things that have been created rather than worshipping the Creator. Read Romans chapter 1. And God takes them all and he humbles them in our sight. And it isn't to destroy us. It's to bring us into line. And yet for all of that, we still reject them. But we're not speaking on about that. We're looking at times whenever God showed himself to be unbeatable. I suppose the greatest is the victory that whenever the devil took on the Lord and he lost victories when he took him on and lost over and over again to him. Whenever Mary was expecting their baby, there was a census and she had to go for a long distance in the back of a donkey, and that might have caused another woman to miscarry. Whenever he was 2 years old, he put it upon the heart of Herod to kill all the little children of 2 years old and younger. Whenever the Lord was starting his ministry and he was in the wilderness, the devil came and tempted him. All of these times the devil tried to win, and the word of God sent him packing with the word of God. We read in the book of Acts today about the times that the scribes and the Pharisees tried to kill the disciples, and they tried many times to have the Lord killed. Do you remember his crucifixion and death? I am sure the devil was dancing a jig and laughing and pointing the finger, and the same words that he said were the same words that all of the mockers and scoffers said, "Oh, you were so great you could save others, you can't save yourself, can you?" But he didn't know that even his greatest victory, the devil's greatest victory, became God's greatest victory whenever Christ raised himself from the dead on the third day. And he became the Messiah, in the eyes of God and man, and the Savior of whosoever will. In at least 7 years' time, there'll be the Battle of Armageddon, and the devil will try and beat God again, and he'll fail. The Lord will make war on him with the sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. And then, at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, he's going to try again. He never learns. It's almost like he's beyond reason, that no matter what you say to him, he doesn't see sense. Does that remind you of anybody in the world today? A group of people that no matter what you say or do for them or how you placate them, they want more and more and more and more and won't see reason. Yep, the title of the message is Beating God, but yet the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, has shown that he's unbeatable. The words of Gamaliel still read true in our ears. Do you want to be found fighting against God? Do you not want to be on the winning side? Well, do you know what? You can beat God. Not the capital G-O-D of the Bible, but the small G-O-D that inserts himself in place of God in your life day by day. I want you to remember Romans 8:31, tell us, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that's true today, capital G-O-D. I want for you to remember that there is somebody to be beaten. That God never puts himself down as the adversary of man. Puts himself down as the Savior of whosoever will. He's a loving God, he's a kindly dispositioned God, but he's also a God of judgment and righteousness. And he wants what's best for you, but the devil, he wants to destroy you. People would say, but all the things the Bible says, are things that we don't like to do, and all the things that we get tempted to do, we enjoy. Well, that's because the devil is tempting you to smoke and to drink and to do drugs and to live immoral lives, to indulge in all sorts of thrills and pleasures, most of which will actually kill you. If not right away, then by inches, just like it did for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You'll die, and yet they lived for 1,000 years nearly. But they still died. And that is still the same lie that the devil is telling people today. And the devil tempts you to sin whenever he reasons in quotes with you about how good you'll feel after it. Just remember this one thing. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If someone is asking you to do something and it disagrees with the Bible, ask them, well, what do you think of what the Bible says? And see how that goes. I am going to do what the God of the Bible says, the God that wants the best for everybody, that wants everybody in heaven. I'm not going to do what the God of this world says, who just wants people to join him in hell in the lake of fire. And see how your friends go. Because you can't beat God. You can't beat the God of the Bible. I'm going to read you, I have a few verses, and this isn't even all of them, from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4 and 35. Unto thee it was showed, in other words, all the things that God has done, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. 1 Samuel 2 and 2, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. 2 Samuel 7:22. Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. 1 Chronicles 17:20. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. That sound familiar? Isaiah 45:5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Isaiah 45:21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Saviour. There's none beside me. You can't beat God. But you can beat God. You can beat that wee God that tells you to watch the TV instead, or surf on the web instead of reading your Bible. You can beat that wee God that tells you to shut up instead of speaking out and preaching the gospel. You can beat that wee God that tells you to blend in instead of being one of those peculiar people that loves the Lord and turns himself out properly and gets to church on a Sunday. You can beat that wee God that says, forget church, you're as close to God at home as you are at church. That's just a lie from hell. You can beat that God that says, God doesn't need my tithe. I'm just going to spend it on whatever I decide to spend it on. You can beat that God. But you can't beat the God. And the last service that we had, it's called a revelation. The very, very end of any decent book, any enjoyable book, the good guys always win. The bad guys get what they deserve. And everybody lives happily ever after. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. The God that wants everybody to have a fair shake, the God that wants all men to be saved, he wins. And everybody that just bows the knee, I think in Philippians chapter 2 it mentioned about bowing the knee and admitting that he is God. Everybody that throws their lot in with him will win. Everyone that refuses him, everyone that rejects him, and everyone that opposes him will lose. And I think that that should be evident enough in the countries that make the God of the Bible their enemy, and the countries that have made the God of the Bible their mainstay. Sadly, those countries are very few and far between right now as we strive to get away from all of the rules and regulations that God gives us, things that give everybody a fair shake and keep the wheels turning smoothly, but that's entirely up to people. I love the Lord, and I have found the first 23 years of my life I tried to beat God, I tried to do things my way, and it just didn't work. But whenever I put my faith in Christ Jesus as my Savior and started doing things God's way, it's almost like you're going the way the universe wants you to go, and so many things just fall into place. God loves you and wants the very best for you. You can't beat him. You know what they say? If you can't beat them, join them. You can't beat the God of the Bible, but you can beat the wee God that tries to destroy your relationship and your faith in the God of the Bible. Keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ, upon his word. Hide it in your heart, and that will fuel you as you trample all of the things that the world would throw at you to destroy you under your feet, and you can still smile. God loves you and he wants the very best for you. Do what he says and watch how things change for the better. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We have a closing hymn, and then we are finished for this, the 20th of June. Where are we? There we go. Hymn number 308 this morning. Hymn number 308, I Surrender All. Thank you all for your good time and attention. God bless you. Pray that you have a good week or a few days until you next hear from us. Looking forward to seeing you all face to face as soon as possible. Just be much in prayer about that. And the Lord knows. Keep your eyes upon Him. For all the things that I could say to you, the Bible says things much more clearly, and much more succinctly, and much more powerfully. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence and around your word. Please bless it to each one of us and help us, Lord, this day and all the days that follow. Regardless of what goes on in the world, Lord, let us remember to keep our eyes upon you. Bless us and see us safely back to wherever it is that we're going. And we love you and thank you, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll be in touch again on Wednesday. Bye-bye.